Just as we read the thought about those words yesterday from Genesis 28, where Jacob said, "Surely God is in this place," and I didn't realize it. Lord, we just turn our gaze, our attention to you again, with an awareness that your presence is with us, Lord, that this is holy ground as we gather as your people to hear your word, to be inspired, to be part of your mission. Lord, just come by your Spirit and open our ears to hear your word this morning. Amen. Great. Okay, so God is, if this is the family, then God is the head of this family. He's the dad. And do you know what? What I want to say to us today is, even when we think about mission and we think about the role we play as the church in this world, that we can look at that through the lens of family. And we are his family, and God has a purpose for us. God is at work in his creation. The world is broken. Who was it? Someone was reading a newspaper. Who was it in the lounge? And I saw they were reading, and I just said, "Any good news?" And it was like, "Yes." Yeah. What was your name again? Sorry. Dave. And you're the Man United fan, aren't you, Dave? That's why you're sat on the back row in the corner. And so I said to Dave, "Any good news?" And it's like, "No, not really." And you don't have to look far for bad news, do you? And you look into God's creation and it breaks your heart. It's so sad at times. We don't have to look far to see the negative impact of sin on the world. You know, sometimes I become immune to it on my estate, you know, but I look around and I can see it dead clear, you know, that the way that sin is ravaging people's lives, and it breaks your heart. And the good news is it breaks God's heart as well. God isn't asleep. God isn't slumbering. God loves his creation. He loves the people of this world. And when they suffer, he suffers with them, you know. And we look at the mess, and I look and think, the mess is of our own making, this world. The mess is of our own making. But God is clearing it up. Oh, isn't that the grace of God? Like, we mess it up, he clears it up. Like, I don't know, as a parent, when my kids make a mess, I'm doing my best to get them to tidy it up. But the grace of God is that he knows we can't do it in our own strength. And he comes in and he says, "Your mess, I'm going to help you clean it up." And it's the incredible thing that God's doing. And this is what God is up to in the world. And this is what Christians call mission. And I want to tell you today, and this is going to relieve some pressure for us today as Christians and as followers of Jesus, that mission is God's idea. First and foremost, it's God's idea. When we first came to Netherton with the Eden team, and we turned up, and I, you know, sort of urban missionaries and all that, we maybe felt like, you know, we were here we come, you know, we're going to make a real difference here, and we're going to solve all the problems probably within the first 12 months, and then we'll move on to the next place and off we go. And I think we felt like we were bringing Jesus in the boot of the car with us to our community, Netherton, like as if, you know, here we come now, the arrogance of youth, you know, we got that beaten out of us fairly quickly. But we thought we were maybe bringing Jesus with us. But the incredible thing is, we found, as we've looked more clearly and consistently, that Jesus is at work in our communities. Praise God. It's not all down to us. I don't know about you, but I cannot save anyone. I sometimes try to do it in my own strength. I can't do it. I can't bring anyone to Jesus. I can't tell my testimony in a really great way that's going to make them lay down their life and follow Christ. Their mission is God's. It's his. It's his idea. And in fact, a theological term we use to describe that is the Missio Dei, that God is the God of mission. It starts with him. I came across this quote, and it says, "It's not the church of God that has a mission, but the God of mission who has a church." It's not the church of God that has a mission, but the God of mission that has a church. It starts with him. God's desire is that all people would be saved. That's his plan. That's good news, isn't it? smile at me. Come on. Don't go quiet on me. And so that's where we're at. God has a rescue plan, and that rescue plan forms the shape of his son, Jesus Christ. And that's what we see when the son comes. What does he say he's doing? Well, the gospel tells us clearly that when Jesus comes, he says, I do what I see my father doing. So even the son, he comes and he's looking to see what God is doing in the world, and he's joining in. And heads up, the religious people don't really like that. That's worrying, isn't it? I always think about that. God's doing stuff in the world. When Jesus comes and he's joining in with what the Father's doing, who's the pain? It's the church. Oh, that's horrible. And so I've looked at my estate sometimes and the things I've done on my estate, and I thought, I think I'm making this worse. Like, what am I doing? I need to join in with what God is doing. And that's what Jesus does. He sees what God is doing and he joins in. And when people are critiquing him for that and putting him down, what does he say? He says, well, my father's at work in the world to this very day. My father's working and I'm joining in with him. I'm going to join in. What the father does, the son does also. This is what we see in the life of Christ. And so then when we see him healing the sick, when we see him loving the broken, spending time with those people who the church say, oh, those people aren't really who we'd normally hang out with. That's Jesus said, well, I'm just doing what God is doing in the world. I'm just joining in. I'm building his kingdom. And as his children, the church, he calls us to join in with the family business also, to build his kingdom. We get to take part. We get the joy of joining in with what God's doing. And I tell you, the pressure is off when I think about it in those terms. Rather than it's all on me, God is doing it and I get to join in. I want to tell you about my mate Ian, who's building an extension currently in his house. And I mean, I say extension, it's like the extension is probably twice as big as the house was before. So it's massive. This thing is a mansion. And Ian is one of those guys who can do a bit of everything. So he's doing most of it himself, which means Saturdays and Sundays afternoons, he's working on his house. But he's also got two small children, Harvey and Isla. So I think, is Isla 3 and Harvey's 4, maybe? 5. And so he's kind of trying to mix childcare with building a house, which is like an interesting dynamic. and Harvey is the spit of his dad. He looks exactly the same. He's like a mini-me. They both kind of slightly podgy, bright blonde hair, and... what I noticed when I drove past his house the other day was that Ian had his wheelbarrow and he was going from front to back on the house, just loading up. I'm not a builder, so I'm going to embarrass myself here. He was loading up something like soil, or I think it was soil, and he was ferrying it from front to back. But then what I noticed behind him was Harvey, his son, had like a little mini wheelbarrow, and it was like full of a little bit of dirt as well. And so there was Ian in his building gear going back and forth with the dirt. And there was Harvey with his little mini wheelbarrow going, following his dad, just in his dad's footsteps, going back and forth. And so I spoke to Ian about that the next day. And I said, you know, oh, I noticed that was really quite cute. You know, that was cool. And he said, yeah, it is good. He said, some of the problem is that I've got my wheelbarrow and I'm taking the dirt from here to here. And sometimes Harvey is taking the dirt from here to here. And it just on and on it goes. And so like Ian's thinking, that's cool. Like, it's really cool to have my son with me. He is kind of making my life just that little bit harder. And, he's saying as he's walking with the wheelbarrow, he's just leaving a trail of mud everywhere over Ian's nice new tiles. But Harvey is taking part, isn't he? And you know what? I kind of, as I thought about that and was touched by that, but I also felt like God speaking to me through it. And I kind of fast forward to like when Harvey is grown up, when he's a bit older. And I can just imagine people saying, like, looking at this incredible house, you know, this massive, lovely, beautiful house, and saying to him, oh, you know, saying to Harvey, his mates, going, your house is really cool, isn't it? And I can imagine him responding and saying, yeah, me and my dad, we built this together. And I just, you know, and I love that. I love that. I can love that picture. And God really spoke to me through that as an image of what God is doing with his kingdom and what God is doing with us and our lives. And I think I think sometimes it's like that in the family business. I know I feel like that in my community, on my estate, that sometimes I feel like I'm like Harvey. Like, you know, I've got these great aspirations to be doing mission, to be being part of God's plan and what he's doing in the world. But sometimes when I look back, I think, I'm just making a mess, like throwing dirt this way and that way. And then occasionally we get things right and you think, oh, thank goodness. Like, you can see something great's happening. But do you know what I feel is the pleasure of my Father in heaven when I'm giving it a go, when I'm joining in, when I'm having a go? And, I feel like I'm just like Harvey with the wheelbarrow behind and God's building his kingdom. But what I feel is the pleasure of the Father in my looking down at his son, like giving it a go and just being like, come on, yeah, get stuck in, get stuck in. And I've at times feel like we haven't, you know, we've tried mission in lots of different ways and, and I've put a lot of pressure on us to like try and get it right. But I feel like it's as simple as us, his children, trying to follow our dad's example and trying to do what he's doing in the world. I think we overcomplicate it. And I think God will take the work of our hands and he will make it into something beautiful. You know, Harvey's little pile of dirt, you know, or whatever it is, that one brick that he manages to carry to the other side that then gets thrown into this beautiful extension that Ian is building. And then Harvey says, I helped build that. I think that's what God's going to do with our work. And so we look at the feeding of the 5,000, the loaves and the fishes. And Jesus asks his disciples to join in with the miracle, doesn't he? I love that. I love what Jesus is doing there. There's a problem, isn't there? There's these people that need feeding, and Jesus knows what he's going to do. Jesus knows he's going to feed these people, but he's saying to disciples, what do you want to do? You know, how are you going to do this? And the initial reaction is, we don't have enough resources. It would take, you know, a year and a half salary to feed all these people. I think whoever that was, did it tell us in the story who that was? Philip. So I think maybe Philip was the church treasurer in the disciple group. He's the guy who's like maybe thinking, no, we can't do that. We don't have enough money to do that. We can't do that. We've got one of those in our church who like looks after the finances, but also if you say, oh, we're going to do that, here, say, how are we going to pay for it? And I kind of go, I don't know. I'm sure God will provide. And he's like, no, that's a wishy-washy answer. But I think that's what we can tend to do. We can look at something and, you know, Jesus is inviting us to join in, and we think, wow, God, well, this is massive. This is a massive undertaking. You know, what God's called this church to in your community feels like a massive undertaking. It's overwhelming, but it can become so overwhelming that it freezes us, that we think we couldn't possibly be part of this. We couldn't take part in it. We couldn't do that. We're not significant enough. We're not good enough. We don't have the resources. And then onto the scene comes the young lad, doesn't it? Doesn't he? He comes onto the scene. And what's he like? He's just like, well, here's my lunch. Here you go. Have this. He's Harvey. He's just saying, here you go. This'll do. Let's throw this in the mix. And it's just beautiful, isn't it? That Jesus takes his offering, his like little bit that seems insignificant, that thinks, oh, that won't get the job done. Jesus takes it, and in the hands of the Savior, it's multiplied. And so I love to think that in the weeks to come, that young lad was going around to his mates and saying, you know those 5,000 people who got fed and it got multiplied? I did that. I did that. And people are like, I thought that was Jesus. He's like, no, that was, that was my lunch. Jesus might have had a little part to play, but I was involved in that. And I bet he was well chuffed about it. And so that's what we're invited to do. That's what God is inviting us to do, is to offer up what he's put in our hands to him again and again. Let's not overcomplicate it. He's calling us just to plod on faithfully using what he's put in our hands and to see him transform it. And, you know, we had one of those moments this week where you suddenly see what God's doing behind the scenes. You know, you would just keep offering up your little bit. And suddenly it's like, oh, like for Ian's house, it's like all the bifold doors just went in and you see it and you go, oh, wow, that's cool. That's really nice. And we had one of those moments this week. We had a friend came up to chat to us about the work we're doing in Netherton. And people come to see what you're doing. I always feel insecure then because I think, oh, well, it doesn't, you know, it just feels like we're plodding here and, you know, we're just trusting God that he's doing something. And this person had come a couple of weeks ago and he was someone from the Baptist Union, like he's our regional guy. So it's like the equivalent of the bishop or whatever in the Baptist circle. So he's coming and I'm just thinking, oh, I hope this person isn't there that day. And like, and they give us a little bit of money towards what we're doing. So, you know, you feel the pressure. And he walked into our grocery and there was came in incognito a bit early for our meeting, like sneaky. And just to see, to get the real thing. And he came in and there was these two women there chatting. And he got closer and they were chatting about how they were getting baptized in the next couple of weeks and what God had done in life, just naturally chatting. And I was like, yes, thank God for that. Because they could have easily been chatting about anything else. but this week, this lady came off, a friend of ours, and she was wanted to write a little bit about what we were doing. And she came up. And it was just one of those days where your eyes was open to the goodness of God and what he's doing. And so we were sat up in the office and she was saying, oh, you know, my next question is really, could you tell me a story of, what God's transformed someone's life or got something God's doing in his life? And so I thought, oh, okay, let's have a little think. And it was around that time that Hamdi comes up. He's an Egyptian guy who has started helping in our grocery in the last couple of months. And I actually found Hamdi in our church the other week. And he's a Muslim, he's volunteering. And I found him praying and pointed to Mecca and all that in the church. And I kind of stumbled in and saw him. And I was like, oh, sorry. And I walked away and thought, have I ruined this church? What's going on here? And I thought, am I going to get in trouble for this? Or what's, you know, and I kind of, all that kind of headspace went on. And I thought, no, let's, I'll just see what happens. And anyway, have you ever had moments like that, Pete? Sometimes I think what's going on in our church is beautiful. Other times I'm scared that I've wrecked something and God's going to be angry, but I'm sure it's beautiful. And so we're sat there and Hamdi had been ill. Hamdi had been actually quite seriously ill. He'd been rushed into hospital. He had a hole in his, his colon. He had a hole in his colon and he texted the church and said, will you pray for me? And so I'm not, you know, it was the volunteers, the grocery volunteers, a lot of new Christians, you know, a lot of people in that group. And so they texted Hamdi back saying, yeah, we're praying for you. We'll pray for your healing and all that. And just great. And he seemed really encouraged by that. And then he came up and just as I'm asking this lady, you know, this lady's saying, can you tell us a story of something God's doing in someone's life? Hamdi comes into our office and starts to tell the story of how when he was in hospital and they're talking about surgery to stitch up this hole in his colon. And so they scanned him just to check because this hole was getting bigger all the time. And they scanned him and they said, it's shrinking. The hole is shrinking. And so they're saying, so we're getting and we're doing an operation and we're just seal it up now. And Hamdi said, no. The people at the church are praying for me. Don't do the operation. See, if he'd spoken to me, I would have said, do the operation. He said, no, the people at the church are praying for me. And so they wait a bit longer. And the doctor comes back and he says, I've never seen this before. The hole is completely gone. And Hamdi didn't need the surgery. And so that's him bouncing into our office, the Muslim man volunteering in our grocery, praying to Allah. And he comes in and he says, your prayers have made the difference. Wow. This woman just turns to me and goes, shall we use that story? And I said, yeah, let's use that story. And it was the same day that morning. We're in Bootle, Netherton, and it's 99% white British, has been for years and years. And we've just started to see a level of immigration into our community, which is kind of really interesting because you're seeing people who have really never coexisted with people of other nationalities. And so that's both bringing out the best and the worst in some of our community. But we ran an Alpha course. We started one this week, and Emma's doing it. And as part of that Alpha course, we had an Iranian person, a Syrian person, a Romanian person, a South African person. And it was just incredible. And absolutely loving just seeing how God is just doing it, just drawing people to himself. And we kind of sat there, and the South Africa, you know, with Alpha, it's kind of really interesting. We found it dead interesting in our community because at first, I don't know if you've ever come across Alpha, but it's Nicky Gumbel, who's, I guess he speaks if you think I'm posh, he's another level. Like, he's proper posh. And we just thought, oh man, this guy is not going to go down with our people well at all. But they did this new film series, so we gave it a go. And people just love Nicky Gumbel. He's like a celebrity on our estate now because they just think he's this incredible, amazing guy. And I was down in London one weekend, and I was at a church thing, and I looked and Nicky Gumbel was there, and I was like a little bit starstruck. And so I think he's a cool dude, you know, I'm aspiring Nicky Gumbel. And so I went over to him and said, do you know what, we've got loads of people on our estate who would just be over the moon if I could have a photo. And so I got a photo and sent it in our WhatsApp group, and people on our estate were like, no way, Nicky Gumbel is amazing. And then when our church turned 50, he did like a little video. So he did a video where he said, good morning to everyone at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And he said, I've been hearing about all the things God's doing. And like, people were just, you know, it was like, I don't know any famous celebs, but it was like someone really cool, like, had walked, you know, had come into our building. And so we've done Alpha, and during Alpha, you know, one of the things you do is you don't have to give all the answers, which I love because I don't have all the answers. I just don't. And you just let people talk. And this one mum came, and she we've never met her before, turned up that morning. She said, oh, I'm really struggling with my children. And I feel, you know, constantly having shame, feelings of shame and guilt, and, you know, your heart really breaking. And then this South African woman, again, who we've never met before, just rocked up, and she starts talking to her and just saying, oh yeah, but, you know, God just loves you unconditionally. He loves you unconditionally, you know, and he loves you just as you are. And this woman's in tears, and I'm like, Emma and me, like, sat back just thinking, what's going on here? Like, this is, God's doing it. We go away celebrating like Harvey, like the, oh, I built that extension. I did that. Look at this. And like the lad with the loaves and the fishes, where he goes like, oh, this was me. This was me who fed these people. You know, I think God doesn't think, oh, you upstarts, give me some glory here. I think God goes, yes, that's my kids getting involved. That's my kids doing the mission, taking a chance, getting out there. You know, and we had that a moment a couple of months ago where Dave came to us and said, you know, we'd like our youngest, Erin, to be dedicated in the church. And said, oh, he turned to me and said, would you and Emma be the godparents? And just, oh, for me, that is family. That is just family, isn't it? The lonely finding family, the father to the fatherless, people defending those who are defenseless. And that's how God wants to do it. That's how Jesus wants to do it. That's his strategy. These are our precious stones. These are the people that God is placing in and around your life. Would you look and see them? The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. The work is a few. God's just calling us. Just get stuck in. Just do your bit. What is in your hand? What has he given you that you could offer up to Jesus in worship, and that he could turn and make into something amazing? And I want to say to you, don't relegate yourself if you've made a mess of life. Don't relegate yourself from being useful to the kingdom of God. God can use you. Come back to him. You might not think you have anything to offer God, but God will use whatever you put in his hand. I'm one of those naturally grumpy people. I smile in that when I'm up here, like, but I go home and I lock myself in my house and I think, I really don't want to see anyone ever again. And God can soften my heart and use me in ways that I would never have imagined, that God can do it. Will we just offer our bit to him? He wants to partner with his children wherever he has placed you. And I heard recently about an analogy, a football analogy again, which I love, where he said, often as Christians, we think Sunday is the match. The Sunday is the big game. You know, this is the moment where, you know, we come together and this is the important thing. But this guy was saying, no, Sunday, and when we gather like this, this is the halftime team talk. This is the bit where we come off the pitch, and if you're like Arsenal, you're getting hammered and you have to like turn it around. If you're like Liverpool, you're collecting another trophy. But it's that halftime, and if you're Man United, oh my goodness. There's a Cristiano Ronaldo's getting on a plane and going back to Portugal at halftime. But this is the halftime team talk. This is where we come together and we cheer one another on. We encourage one another on. And God has placed each of you where he would have you. Where he would have you. God has placed you on a front line of his purposes. And wherever you are, the people you're with, God is calling you just to offer up that bit that you have. And he will transform it. Let's stand together just as we finish. Is there one more song we could sing? Is that all right? Great. Thank you. And I was just, you know, I was just reminded as well, like as I was thinking about this, when we were doing some stuff with young people, we were always like, we tried to spend lots of money on like Xboxes and things like that, thinking that was what the young people wanted, you know, and they do, like, that's what they say they want, they do want. But I always remember, you know, it was the things like a game of Uno, you know, where you paid £6 and the kids would just come and sit and play that for hours with like old people who, you know, this elderly woman in our congregation who was like, there's no point in me helping with the youth group, you know, like they won't, I'd be interested, but they sit with her, you know, for ages to play Uno, or like they'd sit with the other lady and the young lads were having their like nails painted, you know, and the Xbox would like be sat like not being used. And again, what is that? That's family, isn't it? That's what people are striving for and looking for. And if we would be the fathers and the mothers, you know, and then God will do it. God will do it through us. And I'm convicted and convinced now that we can't just be parents and brothers and sisters to our own family members, to our own blood relatives. God's calling us to to look beyond that as well, and to look to our community and to mother and father and love and care for those people who he's placed in and around our lives. Father, would you, Holy Spirit, would you come again, Father? Lord, by your Spirit, would you come and open our eyes to see the harvest field around us, Lord, to see the people you're placing in and around our lives, Lord, who you're calling us to mother and father and be brothers and sisters to and invest in and point towards your kingdom. Those who you're calling to draw into your church, into your family, God. And would you help give us the boldness to play our part in all you're doing in this world, Father. Oh God, we thank you that you're so good. You're so good, God. You're doing it. You're building your kingdom, Lord. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, Lord. And we thank you for the privilege that we get to play our part in all you're doing in this creation. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.